Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The element that is most expedient in this whole journey is the element of ikhlas and tawazu. Tawazu, call it submission, call it humility, or call it a humble submission. This was the cornerstone of our elders, any buzurg of Dioban, and this is the cornerstone of his life, humility. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say this, I don't know how many times, عاشق بدنام کو نام کی پرواہ نہیں. عاشق means the person that is in love, right? عاشق بدنام کو نام کی پرواہ نہیں. If the one that is in love, then he won't have a good name. His friends, others, they will be speaking out against him. Because his whole goal and his whole outlook is different. His outlook is the love of Allah Ta'ala. He is possessed, he is consumed. Like the person of dunya, then he is possessed with the love of the world. At any given time, and this is the topic that he's going to be discussing, car, business, furniture, investment, offshore, inshore. Right. So that's what he's going to be discussing. Right. At any given time, business, wealth. So he's consumed. By material, he's consumed. So there's any topic that he'll discuss is about material, about his health or wealth. Right. Present or future. This is the whole net sum of his discussion. Wealth and health, present and future. And the third thing added to it is his name. So he's worried about name, wealth and wealth. Health and wealth. So if someone is moving against the grain, then he'll be badnam. He's got nothing to do with name. No concern about fame and no concern about health. Came, alhamdulillah, he'll take care of it, not that he'll destroy. Like wealth, he won't destroy it. It came, it went. Name came, and it went, so what? Kaunsi bari baat ho gayi. Aashiq ke badnaam ko naam ki parwaah nahi. Not worried about name. This is a big problem that many people suffer. How do I feature amongst people? What will people think of me? So that becomes like an obsession, becomes a concern. How do I feature amongst people? Musa alayhi salam complained to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, make it such that nobody speaks out against me. Now who's talking? Musa alayhi salam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen Musa Alayhi Salaam approximately in the sixth heaven. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam was on the seventh, and sixth heaven was Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salaam. So that means he's rating third. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, then Musa Alayhi Salaam. So can you imagine now his status and his maqam? What he's asking for, that nobody must speak out against me. If they talk, they must talk good about me. So Allah Ta'ala corrected him there and then. O Musa, people haven't spared me. Where will they spare you? So what do you think of it? What is it? The Quraysh, they slandered Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they chose a name, Muzammam, right? His name was Muhammad. So what they said? Muzammam. Now look how Nabi Sassam turned the fury and the anger of the Sahaba Ikram away. So he says to the Sahaba one day, see how Allah Ta'ala turned away the whole slandering campaign against me. They got a slandering campaign against me. But see how Allah Ta'ala gracefully moved it away. They, أَنَّهُمْ يَصُبُّونَ مُذَمَّمًا وَيَشْتِمُونَ مُذَمَّمًا وَأَنَا مُحَمَّدُ. If they are swearing and they're insulting, who they're insulting? They're insulting and they're swearing Muzammam. And I am Muhammad. So how he turned the Sahaba Ikram's attention. Carry on. So Aashiq Badnaam ki, naam ki parwaah nahi. He's not worried about name. And if you're worried about name, to phir tum Aashiq nahi. If you're worried about name, then you're not an Aashiq. On the one side, you're crying for Ishq, for the love of Allah Ta'ala, special love of Allah Ta'ala. Then you're worried about name, then you're not an Aashiq then. Aashiq is not worried about name. Came, it came. It went, it went. Jo aya, so aya. Jo gaya, so gaya. What came, it came. What went, it went. The Aashiq is not looking at all that. So he's called an Aashiq. And people call him a Diwanas. Why they call him Diwanas? Because he is thinking totally different to them. Diametrically different to them. Their whole subject is wealth, material, security, fame. Three, four things, that's what they're looking for. So that's the whole life. The whole life revolves around these three, four things. Name, wealth, health, security. Besides nothing else. That's what they look for. So the topics will be revolving around this. Now if someone talks diametrically different, totally opposite. He's talking totally opposite, then in their side, there's something wrong with this person here. He's talking like this, the sole reason is, you are in love with the world. So, man ahabba shay'an akthara dhikrahu. You're in love with something. So you'll talk about it, you'll discuss about it, you'll have conferences, you'll fly from here to Japan, and Japan to America, for about the same thing. And this person here, his whole, he's been consumed by the love of Allah Ta'ala. He'll talk about it, he'll reflect about it, he'll repeat the same name. He'll get up in the morning with that concern, he'll go and sleep with that concern. Right? So he'll be doing everything just for this. And you're doing something totally different, right? So this person is called an Aashiqullah. You are called Aashiqud Dunya. See that your whole journey, direction is different. Your route is different. His route is different. You're not worried. Came, it went, not a thing to stress about. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Nabi Sam holds into his hand, right? Now, if one of us were to see Nabi Sassam in our dreams, and Nabi Sassam clasped or grasped our hand, what will happen? I think from now till Qiyamah we'll sing about it, isn't it? That was even if you did it just in the dream. But if in life Nabi Sassam held on to someone's hand, then can you imagine? Nabi Sassam made the initiative and he held on to Mu'adh Rayyan's hand. Then what will happen to us? Then, after holding onto his hand, and he says, "Ana uhibbuk," I've got a special liking for you. Then, what is I'm holding onto the hand, and with the holding of the hand, I said, I've got a special liking for you. What happens to the person? So there must be something in Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu for Nabi Sam to say this. Because he was an Aashiq Badnaam, same. Nabi Sam had seen that his ishq is something else. And your ishq is something else. His ishq is something else. He's not concerned about name, whatever. Al-Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu used to lead his people. And then at least he would perform namaz with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then lead his own people. So one person came complaining after he was branded as a munafiq. One, two persons, now they broke away from the Jamaat. So they were branded now, they munafiq, that Mu'adh radiallahu is leading the namaz and you are a breakaway group. So now he didn't appreciate this type of a title, so he came directly to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he complained, Ya Rasulallah, this is what's happening, they're calling me a munafiq. But the position is this, that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu reads the Isha namaz with you. Then he comes and leads us. And when he leads us, then he recites Surah Baqarah. Now imagine now, it's a summer month, right? The namaz, Nabi Sam will read with Itminan. So at least that Isha namaz will finish at about, say about, latest about 9 o'clock, right? Then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu has to come from his home, from the masjid, to his locality. Wherever his village was, he's traveling from there to his own place, right? Then he's starting of the namaz. And in that namaz, now he's starting, say, at about 9:30. This is for example. They start off with Surah Baqarah, Ala Imran. Now, the rest of the community, they could manage it, but this person can't manage it. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ ذَا الْحَاجَ وَالْضَعِيفِ وَالْمَرِيدِ. Because in the following there is someone that is sick, not feeling well. He is weak. There is a person who needs to take the flight. Perhaps there is a doctor who needs to do an emergency operation, just came for the Jummah namaz. So the imam has to be so well calculated. Okay, there will be all types of people behind me. Right? There will be the person that is ill, the one that is weak, the one that has got a very important commitment, but he's come to perform the namaz behind the imam. Right. Now the imam sahib is stretching those people, what is reading Surah Baqarah. He's charged by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he's reading namaz by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who won't be charged? He'll be charged, you know, real, real charge. So the charge is coming out and he's reading Surah Baqarah. Now, this person is complaining that I have been branded as a munafiq. Why I broke away behind Mu'adh? But this is the position, Ya Rasulullah. See, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, really you can't find a parallel to the Sahaba-i-Kiram. Whatever it was, they brought it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They didn't conceal it. Exactly how it took place, the full stories before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And how we give the selected story to our Hazrats. Hazrat, this is what happened, you know. I was doing so much of work, teach the Hifz class, you know. And I get up before Fijr. And even after Isha, I'm teaching, you know. And then I go sleep, you know. So the beautiful stories you give to the Hazrat, right? But your weaknesses, do you ever discuss with the Hazrat? Now you leave it entirely to his kush. Now he must get the kush. He's got a scanning machine. So he must pick it up. Okay, this is my problem. And he must address it. And then I must guess now. How is it going to work? Those Sahaba-i-Kiram, they didn't depend on the kush of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they came and reported it to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So you understand, Yaqub Alayhi Salaam, one poet is asking, you see. Poet is a poetical language. He says, in a Persian couplet, right? He says, Bua Piranas, Pirana. That you sense and perceive the scent of the clothing of your son Yusuf at Canaan, approximately 700 k's from Egypt. You're sitting in Canaan, somewhere in Syria, and you perceive the scent of the clothing of your son Yusuf, which is in, he is here in Egypt, and you got the scent there. But if your senses were so great and so profound, when he was right in Canaan, dropped into a well, you couldn't perceive the scent there. What happened? See, when those sons attempted to murder him, right, dropped him into the well. So it's just a kilometer away from home. Kilometer away from home, you couldn't perceive the smell. And 700 k's away from home, you got the smell. What happened then? So what this is showing, that a miracle, وَمَا كَانَ لَنَا أَنَّ أَتِيَكُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. A miracle only happens by the will of Allah Ta'ala. The Nabi also doesn't have a total control and authority over a miracle. If he had total authority and control, then it could have been perceived at that distance. But at one point he perceives it, at another point he cannot perceive it at all. So the Sahaba Ikram didn't subject all this to kashf. I got a problem, I need some attention. Or if you give a problem, I got a problem in the business, you know. Yeah, people are not paying me on time. Alright. But the other side of it, you don't say, yeah, my workers, but your workers, do you pay them on time? These people, they're not paying you on time. Your workers, do you pay them on time? So, you are selective, the reporting is selective. So, when the reporting is selective, he's subjecting it to the kashf. And the sight, the insight of the sheikh, that inside of the sheikh doesn't have to be perfect at all times. Sometimes he picks it up, but sometimes he can't pick it up. Right? So this person brings it to the attention of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this was going on. Right? Now Nabi Sallam meets up with Hazrat Muaz radiyallahu anhu, and he says to him, see the words he's using, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا Muaz. Muaz, are you a fitna monger? Are you going to create fitna? You're breaking the group. You're breaking the jamaat. You're breaking the congregation. You're breaking this up. Who is saying? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who is speaking to us? Muaz. Are you going to break up the jamaat? And then he says to him, Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. When you are leading any people in namaz, make it light. The ruku, the sajda, the qiyam, make it light. There are all types of people. I just explained, there could be a sick person. Right? There could be a weak person. There could be a person who needs to go out, is an emergency, needs to go out straight away, he's going to catch the flight. There is someone that is doing a surgery, or he needs to see a patient immediately. He's got something on his buzzer. So all these types of people are coming in the namaz. And now you say, no, I got all that tawajjuh and all that special tawajjuh towards Allah Ta'ala. And I must just carry on. For the sake of deen, they must make sacrifice. But you got it wrong. Your understanding is incorrect. Your reasoning is all corrupt. Because if that was the case, Nabi Sallam wouldn't have said, Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. Nabi Sallam is leading the namaz at times. And فَأَتَجَوَّذُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ خَشْيَةً. Right? Nabi Sam is performing the namaz. And then, فَسَمِعْتُ بُكَاءَ سَبِيٍ. Then I hear the crying of a child. In namaz, he's listening to the crying of a child. Right? So that means, this listening to something that is خَارِجُ الصَّلَاةِ, that is outside namaz, is not against خَشْيَةً. It's not against khushu. You know, you say khushu, I must be so much of khushu that you're oblivious of your surroundings, then you got khushu. If that was the criteria, then Nabi Sam wouldn't have heard the crying out of salah. Right? See, when you make wrong definitions, or you make a definition at a very high level, then you may think that it's a contribution, you're doing good to a people, but really you are creating despair and despondency. That person is trying to make khushu in namaz, and he's hearing something out of namaz. He says, no, I have disqualified. I can't reach up to the levels of khushu. Because, you know, so-and-so person was performing namaz, and he couldn't make out at all what was going out of namaz. Yeah, I'm performing namaz, and I'm hearing to the sounds that is out of namaz. But you make it manageable and easy in the lines of the hadith, then you say, no, I can manage as well. That person is saying, I'm doing a service for deen. But I would say he's doing a disservice for deen. That is creating such a level, okay, it is, for the normal person, it is impossible for to reach up there. And then he'll say, now, hey, you know this khushu thing, I can never reach up there. So when Nabi Sallam is listening to this crying of this child, and he says, فَأَتَجَوَّذُ فِي الصَّلَةِ, then I shorten my namaz. مَخَافَةَ أَيَّ أَن تَفْتَتِنَ أُمُّهُ, that the mother's mind will be totally distracted towards the child. She's waiting now, hey, when this Imam Sahib will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, that I can pay attention to this child. I don't know what's going on. Perhaps he's got a stomach cramping. Something is happening to this child. He needs attention. But I can't get out of his namaz because I'm behind the Imam. Now let's hope this Imam is out. He makes salam quickly. See where her mind is. Now you see Nabi Sam, he is the criteria, he is the direction, he is the leader, he is the imam. Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. Leading the salah, then make it light. One person, it was well known of him, that he won't perform namaz at all. And for some reason he had to join up, pair up with the Mawlana Thanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. They are both boarded on horse cart. You know that olden days horse cart, they both on a horse cart, they're traveling. Namaz time came, Mona got off the horse cart, he's performing his namaz. After a few moments, this person came and joined in. And he really enjoyed the namaz. And then he says to Mona, Mona, agar ye imam log, agar namaz ko mukhtasar karte, main kabhi uske liye, meri kabhi badnami nahi hoti, ki main namaz nahi padhta hu. That if these imams would have shortened the namaz, I would have never had this badnami of not attending the namaz with jamaat. But that imam is performing the namaz and he's showing all his qiraat stunts there. All his talents. Sabah and Ashra and all that, he's showing that. Hey, I want to get over with my namaz. I don't want to see all your styles. You see, the standard Nabi is leaving behind. And then our minds go. And what it results in, that person that wants to come into the masjid, he doesn't come because of our negligence. Okay. But anyway, this was the beauty of the Sahaba Ikram. Anything happened, they brought it, they reported it. So nothing is kept away. Or if there is a story, it's not a selected story. A full story is given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mu'adh radiyallahu ta'ala never opposes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, he said, what charge I've got? What khushu I got? I'm excused in this situation. And these people are only worrying about dunya. They can't worry about namaz. He didn't bring up his defense. Right. So Nabi Sami tells him, you either perform namaz with me, or go and perform with namaz with your people. Make up your mind. But this joining up this boat, this is unacceptable. And then when you're performing namaz with them, Nabi Sallam is talking about 1400 years ago, right? So what he's telling them, that read surah like Sabbihis Marabbikal A'la wa Shamsi wa Duhaha, read that. And nowhere you'll see that they were reading the surahs but in qiraat style. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. You won't say that they weren't reading like that. Allah Ta'ala aaj kal ke qurra ke upar raham farmaye. Not the right thing they're doing. Some of them, not all. There's two, three qari sahibs here also. So they may think I'm targeting them today. So it's not all the qurras, but there are some people that are overstepping the mark. So what Nabi someone wants, bashira wa la tunaffira. Don't chase people away. From deen, from namaz, don't chase people. You have an approach that people get attracted to namaz. I like to go and perform namaz. A lot of time I say to people, I like to read namaz in Mallinson Road. Short namaz, you're out of the masjid class. Then, after that, your nafil namaz, you can pull and you can stretch as you want. But you free the people. Now, short namaz, isha namaz, you know, in about 7 minutes, you'll be out class, you end. But isn't it a relaxation, mental relaxation? You feel nice, you feel comfortable, relaxed. Did your namaz, you're out of the masjid. Maybe you in the mood today, but the congregation is not in the mood. Or maybe one day the congregation is in the mood, but you not in the mood. When you're not in the mood that you were really short, now look at it. Is it fair? You're not in the mood, not feeling well. Imam Sahib is not feeling well, so he's made the namaz short. But you don't realize that like you are not feeling well today, every day this must be the position that someone is not feeling well. So that person that was wanting to come to the masjid, so now I can't go to the masjid because that Imam Sahib is going to stretch. But he wants to do the namaz in the masjid, but he doesn't come to the masjid because of the Imam Sahib. You see, the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mansha of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be understood. Don't you decrease, don't break up the jamaat. The jamaat is coming in, they're coming for namaz. They came in, do the sunnahs, short, and move out. There must be a reason why the Hanafi say that even these du'as that are supposed to be read in the qawma, right? Then don't read those namaz, don't read those du'as. Why? Again, the principle was, man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. Shorten the namaz. Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. Now you don't look at that principle, you just signed line, so now I must read this du'a, read this du'a, so much of sawab. But what are you going to do with the people afterwards? They're going to have complaints, you're breaking up the jamaat. Man amma qawman fal yukhaffif. Anyway, so Nabi Sallam wants the Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. But now, there must be a reason why Nabi Sallam was attracted to him. That this person complained. So, he did not say at any time afterwards. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu didn't say at any time. Now, Rasulullah Sallam is going to have a very poor opinion of me now. You know, I was so dear to him. I was so close to him. So now, is he going to have a weak opinion about me? See that? See, this stories of Sahaba, you cannot read the story and carry on, move on. But there's so much of thing pushed into the stories here. Nobody reflects, nobody thinks about it. And that's why I always say, you know, by just listen to your elders. Because their reasoning was at a different level. You don't do your own thing. Your reasoning is still you're scratching the surface. See here, did Mu'adh radiallahu anhu ever shout this person here? You know, what, my reputation is gone, it's tarnished. For, of all people, you went and complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You could have come and told me quietly, I would have sorted out something. But you went straight up there and you went and complained. See, their reasoning was different. Our reasoning is different. One person secured, one alim secured a job in Randir somewhere, right? As per the recommendation of Mullah Saharpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. For the job. And in the first or the second month of his employment, he asked the trustees for a loan. Now the trustee, he forwarded that letter. You know, the letter, he is requesting a loan, say 10,000. The salary is about, say 500, and he's asking for a loan for 10,000. This is in the second month of his employment. So he forwarded the letter to Mawlana Saharpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Mawlana Saharpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali shouted, this alim, he's coming here under his recommendation. See, but you just started the work here, and you're asking for such a fat loan. Do you have a guarantee of your death and life? How long is it going to take you to pay this? 2 years almost. Even if you're paying 500 every month, right? It's going to take you 2 years to pay this. How long is it going to take? It's going to take for you to service the loan. What guarantee have you got of death? Now this person here, see, when you don't have the proper guidance of your elders, etc., he went and complained, shouted at the trustee, "Bhai, I had a problem, you could have come and referred it to me, why you went straight up to Molana?" Now compare this against Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Did Mu'adh radiallahu anhu ever think that my reputation is gone, Nabi Sallam doesn't have any luck for me, I'm a failure to Nabi Sallam? Did he ever think like this? That's stupid thinking. I'm a failure to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm a failure to my people. I'm a failure to everybody. Bhai, that's all stupid, depressive, negative thinking. He never think like this at all. Right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being corrected by Allah Ta'ala to say, use the word reproach is not right. Abasa wa tawalla, right? Because of Abdullah ibn Maktum, right? But now, yeah, the whole surah came out because of who? Ibn Maktum. Whole surah. Abasa wa tawalla, anja'a al-a'ma, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّدْ. The surah is like a graphic photo of how Nabi Sallallahu, you know, features would have been at the time. How he would have appeared. Right. But now Nabi Sallallahu's approach towards Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum was totally different after that. He didn't say, I'm a failure to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm a failure to my wife, I'm a failure to Muslims. He didn't say that. Did he say that? See, all these stupid ideas. We've got too many people advising. WhatsApp is advising. Google is advising. Right? And Twitter is advising. And what's the other one? YouTube is advising. So many people are advising. So the person's advice you're supposed to take, that he's being sidelined. He's being marginalized. Right? And this stupid people's advice, we are latching onto. Mad people, stupid people, crooked people, the advice we are latching into, and the advice that we're supposed to be taking, that we're not latching onto. Now look at it. Nabi Sassam is being corrected, right? On account of who? Abdullah ibn Maktoum, right? By who is being corrected? By Allah Ta'ala. But did Nabi Sassam say, now, because of you now, my reputation with Allah Ta'ala is gone, I'm a failure to Allah Ta'ala, I'm a failure to this. You see the stupid reasoning. Where is it coming from? I'm a disappointment. I'm a failure. It's coming from stupid people. People that don't have brains, proper brains, and you're listening to them. And you're taking them to heart. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so positive about the whole thing, that thereafter, if Ibn Maktoum had to ever come, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, Marhabam biman atabani Rabbi. Welcome. Marhaba, marhaba. On whose account Allah Ta'ala had to reprimand me. Now look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now today you got on Maktab Madrasa, Ustad someone, and the Ustad or the teacher, the parent complained about the teacher, or the child complained about the teacher, to the supervisor. What will happen? For the rest of his career he's going to be victimized. Write it down, he's going to be victimized. You are in Branton, yeah? You did this, eh? So for the rest of the career now. Now here Nabi Sam's approach is totally different. See, Nabi Sam's life was a life full of hope. He'll give you hope. In a worse situation, but just hold on to him. For Allah's sake, hold on to him, you'll get hope. And leave everybody else. Everybody else. And you'll get hope. But the day you leave Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi Sam, then your life is in a shambles. There's depression. There's despair. There's despondency. Hold on to it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You won't find despondency. You'll feel hope. For approximately 4 or 5 times thereafter, you find, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to go out on a campaign, then Abdullah ibn Maktoum is appointed as the naib of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina Munawwara. See, as a compensation, alright, you know what, we didn't feel good at that time. You know, I didn't show you that attention. So I have to cover up for that. He didn't take it the other way around. He showed the respect to this person here. Being a blind sahabi, you're going to lead the people, you will stand in my position if I am out of Medina Munawwara. For approximately 5 or 7 times, Nabi Sam did it. See, now that's positive looking. Reasoning is positive. There's hope in it. There's a way, there's a direction, there's a way out. And here you are breaking life for yourself, everybody else that are surrounded, you are breaking everybody's life. Why? You have held on to everybody else, and you forgot your Shaykh, you forgot Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you forgot Allah Ta'ala. All these people here meant too much to you. Shaykh didn't mean anything to you. See? He didn't mean anything to you. Nabi Sallam doesn't mean anything to you. Allah Ta'ala doesn't mean anything to you, as though they are your worship, they are your Rabb. So Allah Ta'ala says, alright, I'll leave you now. Let's see. Then you will be a bundle of depression. You are a whole, just a bundle of depression. Depression is going down. But for Allah Pak's sake, just open your eyes, come back onto the path. Now, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sam warned him so severely, but did you ever see after that Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala had ever frowned? He didn't even frown. He didn't even complain to that person. Now he straightened up straight away. To the point that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to say, Mu'adh, muhibbuk, I like you. Because you got corrected, But you never frown, you never show that disappointment. You didn't say, I'm a disappointment, I'm a failure. You didn't say all these things here. So he gained the confidence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because he behaved in a correct manner. He behaved in a manner, he showed stability, strength, he showed love, he showed loyalty. He showed, in fact, I'm lucky that I've been corrected here. I'm lucky, I'm fortunate that I've been corrected. See, now this is positive. So we're talking about Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, right? But the small, the little lessons that are coming on the way, we're sharing with you the lessons. Right? And it was a normal trait. Hinda, she complains about her husband, Abu Sufyan. Right? Hinda, she complains about her husband, Abu Sufyan. She was previously married. And this was now in the days of ignorance, before Islam, she was previously married. And obviously, before Islam, there wasn't the issue of parda, etc. Hijab, niqab, parda, etc. So the husband pulled in home and the husband sees that the wife is talking to a stranger. So when he saw her speaking to a stranger, he had some reservations and doubts. So the wife, Hinda, she was absolutely certain that I haven't done wrong, I haven't intended wrong. I didn't have the slightest idea of any wrong. And in her firmness, she says, no, you know, you have cast aspersions against my name. So let's go to this magician or something and find out. This was the days of ignorance now. You can't hold this as an argument. He'll work out whether I was wrong or not. But then the wife and husband says, all right, what we will do, just to test out that this person is genuine or not genuine, what we will do is, we'll take some wheat, you know, grain of a wheat, and push it into the private area of the camel that we are driving, right? Or we are riding, right? Anyway, they come up to this magician, and just to test him out, say, now we have hid something somewhere, very discreet, something somewhere we have hidden. Can you show? Say, yeah, it's a grain of wheat that's hidden in this place of this animal. All right, now you are sure, we are sure about you. So then they asked, is my wife guilty? No, she's pure. And she is going to be the mother of a king. Now she latched onto this. Hinda, she latched onto this. Well, if I am going to be the mother of a king, then I don't want you to be fathering my son. You're not worth it. You're so low esteem. Small little things that trigger your suspicions, etc. So I don't want you to be fathering that king. So please, for Allah's sake, just divorce me. Now, this was days of ignorance. Like I said, you can't use this as a proof. Now she accepts Islam. But she's by nature, she's a very brave woman, right? You have all types of women, right? You get someone like a bhajia, and someone like a full moon, someone like a samosa, all types. Now they're going for mangu, they call it a samosa run. So anyway, she accepts Islam, and there's a request for bayat, so Nabi Sallam is admitting all those women. So Nabi Sallam is saying the words of bayat, amongst the words of bayat, that they won't commit zina, right? Fornicate. So she is very bold. That's her makeup. You can't change it. It's bold. So in that whole process, while the bayat is taking place, now imagine how bold she is. So she says to Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulallah, is it ever possible for a free woman to ever think of zina, make zina? Normally a woman will be very reserved, she'll be afraid. But she's so outspoken. Is it ever possible for a free, respectable woman to ever think of zina? She said, that means it's a reflection of her purity and chastity. That even the thought of that doesn't pass her mind. Now, she's in the marriage with Abu Sufyan. She divorced the first husband into a new marriage, Abu Sufyan. Now, again, she's quite bold. In her way, she's quite bold. So she complains to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, inna Aba Sufyan rajulun misikun. Right. Ya Rasulullah, my husband Abu Sufyan is a miser. Bold, she's saying it as it is. In other words, he holds it, he holds too tight. He doesn't spend. Abu Sufyan never say, you know, hey, you broke my reputation. The means of, I'm a failure for the, did he ever say that? She's complaining in the absence. That means if the husband was wrong, then for the wife to complain about the husband is right. Because she's complaining about the husband in the absence of the husband. So she's got a right to complain. Well, many a times, hey, if I'm going to complain now, is it ghibat? Is it ghibat? Everything becomes ghibat. Here, she's complaining about the husband. In the absence of the husband, okay, inna Aba Sufyan, rajulun misikun. And this hadith is quoted in Bukhari Sharif. And everybody says unanimously about Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, that from the day he got to know that ghibat was haram, that was when he was about 10-11, till the day he died, he never committed ghibat. So if this was ghibat, then Imam Bukhari is repeating this, I don't know how many times in his kitab. 20 times I think he's repeating this kitab. So 20 times in his kitab he's guilty of ghibat. And we're using Bukhari Sharif as a kitab that is so authentic, as a kitab of barakat, etc. Read it, you'll get a lot of barakat. We congregate for its khatam. It's a book of ghibat. See our stupid mentality, our reasoning. So she's got the right. When she's got a valid complaint, she's got the right to complain about the husband. Okay, this person is like this. Now I've got a family to run. I've got a house to run. But the man is holding it too tight. What do I do? Aaj kal ke khawin, today's fathers, can you take it? Hey, yeah, now you went straight to the sheikh and complain. So Nabi Sam explained to her, just the end of the hadith, otherwise I'll leave you all in suspense, right? And she complained that this man is too tight, he holds too firm, he doesn't spend. Yes. خُذِي مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَوَلَدِكِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. What is sufficient for you and for your son, take that, even without his permission. But not, don't go, you know, beyond the limit now. What is sufficient to you, for you, in a reasonable manner, يَكْفِيكِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, in a reasonable manner, what is sufficient for you, what is sufficient for your household, for your children, that's alright, permissible, you can take it without his permission. That means in a reasonable manner. Not that you can just go and attack his treasures one time, one shot, whatever you want, you can just take away. You got a million there now, the wisdom says, I can take out the million. No. Take out what is reasonable, take it away. Because you have to run the house. And this man is stuck up with his finance, he is holding it so tight, that the whole house is going to suffer here. So you can go and take from him, don't worry about it. See, we have to get our information from the source. To his husband, he would have, the first complaint would have been, my reputation is gone. I'm a failure. Second thing, yeah, you're stealing from me. You're stealing. Chor, sali kahi ki? Chor kahi ki? Right? That's what will be the response, right? And Nabi Sam is giving her blanket permission. Go and take what is reasonable for you. See. Anyway, now we're coming back to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And my mind just went, and I got driven away. I'm showing you reporting. You see, reporting. You report your situations. Small things, big things. Get an idea, get a direction. And from what I understood from Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, as you report freely, correctly, properly, completely, then you don't suffer any type of mental anxiety, worry, depression. You don't suffer. And if you're not going to report, then you're going to suffer all these things here. Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullahi was here in Ladies Madinah, the program. So, he says in the Khanqah in Thanabon, the more time I come for Fajr Namaz, and people had small rooms, right? So from the one room he saw some blood flowing out. So Mawlana suspected something. So now don't do anything now, just call in the police. Because it can be something, we don't know what's the real nature, what happened. If you're going to break the room, then there can be some type of an allegation. Calling the police, because the room is locked from within, right? they found that the person had committed suicide. So Mohana said, "Maine bar bar isko samjaya. I explained this person several times that he mustn't keep things to himself, explain it properly, clearly. But he kept it to himself, kept it to himself. He went to a depression, he couldn't hold it, he couldn't handle it, even committed suicide. See? Now that's the end. See? So the simple thing is by report. Allah Pak made this whole process that one person will know better than the other. Fas'alu ahla dhikr. One person will know, understand things better, one will understand less. The one whose understanding is less, he must accept that my understanding is less. The one that is understanding better, refer to him. Simple. Is there any complication in that? Even in the qabr, the same standard. Allah Pak maintains the same standard in the qabr as well. In this life he maintains it. But in the qabr also he maintains it. The mu'min, Allah Pak's fazl, Allah Pak's grace, Allah Pak make it happen. That they, and may Allah make it for us also, that they will give the answers correctly and with ease they'll give the answers. And the non-Muslim, he will not be able to give the answers. And he'll say, ha ha, la adri, etc. Right? But what will be the response of the farishta, the interrogating officer, the interrogating malaika? They will say, la daraita wa la talaita. That you didn't understand it yourself, nor did you follow anybody. If you didn't understand it, then you could have followed someone else. So that means in the qabr also the same system applies, that there will be that man that understands things properly, correctly, he understands it fully. And there will be those people that don't understand it fully. Then what's your work? Then follow someone. If I ask you now the very technical aspects of Islam and what is the dalil for this and the proof for that, everybody can't answer that. Some are in the position of answering it and many people are not in the position of answering. So then, is there any provision that is made for that person? So Nabi Sallam makes the provision, la daraita wa la talaita. If you don't know it, then follow someone. Now, what you learn from this, that if in principle matters, in aqidah, in beliefs, right, that's the most principle, the most crucial things, the greatest of things, when taqleed is permissible in that, that in furu'i secondary things, why won't taqleed be permissible? In the very basic things, iman, imaniyat, right? Ma rabbuk, ma dinuk, that was imaniyat, right? When taqleed and following someone without asking for proof, it was working in imaniyat, in the standard that Allah Pak laid down in the qabr, then why can't it work in furu'i things, in secondary matters? No, I must know the dalil, I must know the proof. But your understanding is gone off. Get your understanding right. So we are talking about Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advising Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. He has onto his hand and say, "Uhibbuk." Right. Now, there's a third lesson that we learn, you see. See, Allah Pak has created a system. One is a senior, one is a junior. Right. If the senior has an approach, hey, he must just listen to me. I'm the boss. If the senior has that approach, then his students will be failures. Right? His students, people that are under him will be failures. He has to build up a rapport. Ana uhibbuk ya Mu'az. How beautiful he said, I love you. I have a liking for you. See, the senior is showing a special attention to his junior. Now, how is building the confidence of the junior? How good the junior doesn't feel. For the rest of his life, it will be stuck in his memory. Nabi Sam told me, "Ana uhibbuk, I like you." You see that? As Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he sees some dream, and then he comes and reports it to Nabi Sam. Nabi Sam says, "Ni'mal abdu Abdullah, law kana yusalli fil layl." Ukama Qalsam. What an excellent person. Kitna haro poirocha, man. Jo ni ke wo harocha. Kitna acha bacha hai. What a beautiful comment. Eh? If he could only stand up for tahajjud namaz. But how beautifully Nabi Sam presented it. Can you see that? Now these children, anybody that is under us, we need to instruct them. But then what should be the approach? How do we approach the person? How do we tell him? You should be talking to the person I remember, you know, when we were small, right? So we had to be working. Right? Sometimes work in your own family shop, and sometimes they're sending some other shop, go and work there. Right? So the boss that is in charge, now he sees you with the customer, right? And perhaps you didn't do the sale. Then he'll reprimand you, why couldn't you do the sale? Somehow you must go and go behind the customer, patawa him, make the sale happen. That was the ancient time, right? I don't say you must promote that. But what I'm saying, that you are a product. Product is Islam. That is your product. That is what you are marketing. Do you do it with that love? With your children, with your students, with your wife? No, I am the boss. Just listen to me. Just take room and move. Do you have that approach? Is that the approach that Nabi Sallallahu left behind? Bashira wa la tunafira. Speak to the people nicely. Win their confidence. Give them good news. You do this, you'll get this reward. Such a good person you are. You can just do it like this. Small little adjustment I made. As Muhammad Ilyas says, one of his teachers. Now see, look at the ancient, the old, you know, from the old you draw a lot. Lots you can draw from them. So the ustad, old ustad, now they're not, all of them are not ulama. In fact, in our childhood, all of the teachers, not a single one was an alim. Some munshi sahab, some hafiz sahab, all with that was the type of people that was teaching us. Then about late 70s and all ulama came in, right? Late 70s or beginning 80s. Not even the 70s or 80s they start coming in. So in the time of Muhammad Ilyas sahab, they were ustad now. Now the teacher, the child didn't know his sabak. So the teacher picked up the cane to discipline the child. So as he picked up the cane to hit the child heard the stick. Now look at the response, immediate response of the teacher. Think of your, what would have been your response. Leave alone a child, even if it was your own, leave alone a student, even if it was your child, what would have been your response? Our response would have been, I must show this person who's the authority, who's the boss. That's our response. I must show him. Otherwise, masa par chari jaye. Today he's taken 1 inch. Tomorrow he'll take a foot and become a ruler. Right. So, I must put him in his place today. Today I must put him in his place. So somehow grab the stick and give him, fatawa him nicely. Now that ustad, what he did, he put away the stick straight away. He saw that the stick, the child held onto the stick, so he put the stick away. And he says, ab to marne ka zamana khatam ho gaya. The time of hitting is gone. Why did he say that? The time of hitting is gone. Just try and analyze the whole thing. Because if, from this point onwards, if the teacher tried to hit him, then he was trying to assert his authority over him. Not to impress him with the sabak. The idea is, you must be overwhelmed with the sabak. Learn that thing properly. You don't need to assert your authority and show I am the boss. Yes, the sabak, you know, everybody must try and learn it. Somehow, get the person, win him, win his confidence, make him feel happy. I was noticing my grandson, right? First day they went to the school, right? You draw from everybody, whether it's circular or whatever, but they went to school primary of 4 and a half years of age, so they put him to pre-primary. So first day he was a little bit crabby and all, but the second day we tell him, no, he remain at home, we'll play toys. I'll play with this plastic scooter with you and run around. So, I must go to school. So the teacher in the school had such an approach with the child that the child said, no, you tell me no, so I still want to go to the school. You see? But if the teacher could have that type of an approach, ulama, what should they have? With their children, with their students, with their wives, right? With everybody, what approach we need to have that we are welcome, we liked, we loved, whatever it is, how weak the student is, but we loved, and we will move on. Now that was the original teacher, that love. Nabi Sam, his sifat was bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, kind, compassionate, harisun alaikum, anxious about your people accepting, anxious. Imagine we are not even around, but he's so anxious over us. Can't we show that anxiousness and that love to his ummah in whichever capacity we are? Can't we show that? At any level, but can't we show that, you know, we have love for you, we have a liking for you? It's not a good thing to talk about a non-Muslim, right? But my one friend was here some days back. I'm showing a teaching, managing a home, a madrasa, a child, a maktab, whatever it is. But how do you manage? So he says that the more popular schools, if your child is a little bit weak, right, they'll make it out and they'll try and turn him away. Somehow or the other, they'll try and push him away, right? Although you got the money, but they will discourage you, etc. Somehow or the other, you have to move the child away. So anyway, I found out my child was not so bright, this man says to me. So I pulled him out from one of the more popular Muslim schools, bigger schools, and I sent him to Hartley Road. Right. I sent him there. In the 6th month or so, the school called me up and said that now this child here will have to deliver a talk, deliver a speech at the assembly. Now, I'm scratching my head that at the assembly, that child is normally selected who is a masterpiece, not a person that is a little bit weak. How did he get selected to deliver a speech at the assembly? See, what I'm getting at is something else. What muhabbat you need to show with people, with your children, with your wife, with students, what type of muhabbat you need to show. Anyway, now, it made the parent very curious. Okay, this child was like a failure. And from this point, he's gone to such an extreme that he's delivering a speech at the assembly in the school. So I went to find out. So I discovered that it was a Hindu woman teacher, the wife of a doctor, right? She didn't need to teach. But she just had it in her, a passion to teach. Passion to teach. And more especially those that are a little bit weak. Our Ustad, Hafizat Rahman Sahib, used to say, by the hushyar, the intelligent people you all keep, those that are weak, character is not right, broken down, send them to me. See, hal tunsaruna wa turzaquna illa bi du'afaikum. You want intelligent, capable, strong people, people that are listening to you. But you will gain the assistance of Allah Ta'ala through these weak people. So anyway, this woman here, she took a liking for this child. Right? Small child, about 9-10 years of age. And within the breaks, she used to teach the child, tuition the child, correct the child. She brought him to a level that this woman can now, this child is in a position of delivering a speech at the assembly. Now the parent is telling me now, see, today's teacher, what has happened to him? In fact, in every profession it's gone. So this man is telling me, they are just facilitators, not teachers. So the same will apply to everybody else. We're not the husband, we're not the father, we're not the teacher, we're just facilitating. That businessman, he looks at things differently. The old businessman, somehow package it, present it, market the thing and do the sale. So the same principle can't be applied to teaching. Market the thing, make it presentable. Bashira wa la tunaffira. Make it look beautiful. Make it easy to him. Yassira wa la tuassira. It's so easy. You can do it. You'll manage it. Inshallah. You know, you have so good results you had here. You will do it. You'll manage the thing. Inshallah, you'll do it. You have that approach with that person. Don't you pick up his morale. Don't you think, a weakest person here, the man says that I have written my child off, you know. I have written him off. And then that woman, although it was a non-Muslim, but she just picked up the spirits. But can't we listen, learn and listen? It was a non-Muslim, it's a woman. She took a little bit of liking for the child. And she brought the child for no additional remuneration, no remuneration. Just a salary, that's all, nothing else. She doesn't know the father, she doesn't know the child for a bar of soap, she doesn't know anything. But just that she felt sorry for the child, nobody's paying attention to him, let me pay the attention to the person. But you see this instruction at the home, at any level that we are, any level, but the instruction, how do we make it up? The love, the compassion, the time, how do we make it happen? So this Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, on the one side, he's got the love of Nabi Sallam. So how confident he didn't feel that my Nabi Sallam has a liking for me. So what confidence, right? Number two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam certified him. A'lamuhum bil halali wal haram. He is most knowledgeable, most understanding in matters of halal and haram. Matters of pertaining to halal and haram, he is most understanding. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did actually is gave him a certificate as a mufti. Because his signing of the person, he's endorsing this person, that he knows most about halal and haram. If you got halal, haram issues, go and refer to him. So what did Nabi Sallam do? He gave him a certificate of being a mufti of the time, in the day of Nabi Sallam, the confidence that Nabi Sallam had for him. Right? So he's liked by Nabi Sallam. Nabi Sallam held onto his hand. The Nabi Sallam has got so much of regards for him that he pushed him to the level of a mufti. Right? Then it doesn't end there. Now Islam is growing, it's spreading out. Yemen, Syria, everywhere Islam is spreading out. Right? Obviously Nabi Sallam is situated in Medina Munawwara. He can't be present here and in Syria. He can't be present here and in Yemen. He can't be present here and in other places. If he's present in Medina, he can't be in Mecca. But Islam has to flourish at all points. I can't be there. Right? When I can't be there, Islam has to flourish at that point. For Islam to flourish at that point, then I need to keep my representative. The representative will be the one that I've got confidence. You've got a plant here, right? You've got a plant here, oil, manufacturing oil, right? And you want to open up a plant, for example, in Johannesburg. You can't be at both places at the same time. But when it's, you know that it's going to be a big plant here, got a big capacity, are you going to keep any ordinary person there? You need to have the greatest of confidence to pose that person on that position. Because you know the smallest mistake, it could run into, the loss could run into millions. So the person that I'm going to keep there, I must have the confidence, I must have the reliance, I must have the trust in him. So Nabi Sallam will send that type of a person to that part of the world who has the reliance in, the trust in, the confidence. So he's got the confidence on him. So he's got the love, he's got the affinity, the bond. Nabi Sallam is like a representative. He's reflecting the colors of Medina Munawwara. Now, Nabi Sallam's, his method, his ways were very, very unique. In every respect, was unique. Absolutely. So as he's dispatching someone, see the respect that he's giving him. Any person that he's dispatching, Nabi Sallam would be on foot, and that person that he's dispatching is on a mount. He's mounting. Now it's so difficult for that person. But Nabi Sallam is trying to impress upon him, see, I hold you in that confidence, in that esteem. So you must sit there in that position. You will feel within yourself that I'm not worthy of this position. But it is my elders that are putting me here. I'm sitting here just because the command of my elders, I'm sitting here. You see, a combination, you're marrying the humility with position. I'm not worthy of this. But my elders are asking me to do it, so I'm doing it as per their instruction.